Okay, let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I want to, we may not get much through what I'm going to talk about, but I'll just tell you what I did. When I resigned my church, I'd been pastoring for 18 years there. I'd started another church in Vermont. I worked with my dad for 4 years. And I preached, I looked back at my records of preaching, and I'd preached probably 20, 25 messages on missions. But I'd never really gone through the Bible and see what the Bible said about reaching the world. So I said, well, Tom, if you're going to be a missionary, you better find out what the Bible says about missions. So I did. So I sat down, took about a year, and the way I like to do my studies like that is I just take a pad of paper, a pencil, my Bible, that's it. And just start in Genesis chapter 1 and start going through, and bang, there's something. Write it down. Boom, there's something. And I found scores and scores of verses that I'd never seen before in this context, talking about God reaching the world. Now, we have a tendency to think that missions, New Testament missions particularly, began in Acts chapter 13 when the church sent out Paul and Barnabas to go out and reach the Asia Minor. And that's what, where it started for the church, you might say. But the question is, was God always interested in reaching the lost? Was God always sending people to the lost to give them the truth so they would repent of their sins and believe in the true God of creation and the God of Israel? And the answer is definitely yes. God has always been reaching people. And we want to look at some of that today. We'll go as quickly as we can. We're not going to get out of the Old Testament. We'll probably finish maybe half of it. I don't know. There's so much here. It's easy to get bogged down and stuff. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of both them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said, call unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, well, the woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Sounds like someone passing the buck here, doesn't it? Huh? It is. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She passed the buck too. Hey, you know, if you want to pass the buck, there's always somebody to pass it to, instead of taking personal responsibility. Amen? We deal with that all the time, don't we? And the Lord God said to the serpent, and he cursed the serpent and so forth, and the woman and the man, and in different ways and so forth. And then now in verse 21, it says, unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. In verse 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you are always interested in seeking those that you've created. You made us, and then you died for us. And then you seek for us. And I pray that we'll get your heart about reaching the lost and keep it in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. God created man and woman to have fellowship with them. That's why you're here. That's why you're created. God, to have fellowship with God, to love him, to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him in your life. If you have no other purpose in life, that's enough. Amen? Once you get that nailed down, everything starts making sense. Your job makes sense. Your relationships make sense. Everything starts making sense. And here we see that God sought Adam and Eve after they sinned. And we know that he forgave them. We know that he redeemed them because he did a sacrifice. He made coats of skins, which came from animals, which had to die, whose blood had to be shed, so that they could have a covering that was permanent and not the temporary leaf covering they made for themselves. And the thought here is that God reconciled Adam and Eve to himself. God was the first missionary, reaching the lost. They were ignorant, so he taught them. They sinned, so he sought them. They hid, so he caught them. They were condemned, so he bought them. And they could not come to him, so he brought them to himself. Folks, that's world missions. That's God reaching the world of that day, which only was two people. Well, the two people turned into four people not long after that. Cain and Abel. Cain was the oldest, and Abel. And they had different desires in their life. Cain was all about Cain. Abel was all about God. When it came time to worship, Cain says, "I will bring what I have grown in the garden." He brought the fruit or the works of his hands. And Abel, he did what God told him to do. He brought a blood sacrifice because it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. I thank God for the blood. It spoke of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that would come one day and die on the cross and shed his blood to pay the eternal penalty for the sins of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. It's sufficient for all. It's only efficient for those who will take of the life freely. Amen? Cain, and God spoke to Cain about this whole thing, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He said, "The Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well," you get the blood sacrifice, "shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." He said, if you get right, you can have your position intact in your family. And Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass that he rose up and slew him, killed his brother because he was angry. He was bitter. He was angry at God. He was angry at his brother because he was not accepted before God. God can't accept us with the sacrifice of our works. Someone said, you ask people, "Are you saved? Are you going to heaven?" "Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to get there." So how's it going? how's it going? You know, how much more you got to go, do you think? I mean, where do you stop? How many works do you have to do to make it? Now, how do you know if you've done enough? Well, there's no answers to those questions, really. The only thing is the grace of God and trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But Cain had an opportunity, and God says, "Listen, I'm giving you a second chance, Cain." And Cain said, "No." Wow. It tells me one thing about salvation. God will not violate your will to do his will. Why? He made us in his image and his likeness. God made us in the image of God. What does that mean? It means we have personality. Personality is made up of three things. Intellect, that's the ability to think and reason. Emotion, that's the ability to feel. And will, that's the ability to decide. And God made man to have that. The animals don't have all that, but we have that. He made it possible so we can make decisions, and we determine our destiny to a great degree as we choose what's right and refuse what's wrong. Cain said no. Now think of all that Cain knew that he refused. He knew about the creation of the world. He knew there were only four people on the face of the earth, and he knew how they got there. And he knew about the God, and he knew about the fall, and he knew about everything. And he turned his back on everything. He knew about the God's sacrifice for his mom and dad. Adam and Eve. I'll get it eventually. So God sought Cain. though Cain brought the wrong sacrifice brought me by his spirit. And he gave him the opportunity to repent. Isn't that God reaching out to the world of that day saying, you need to get right? He gave him an opportunity. And that's what missions is giving people an opportunity to hear the gospel and to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. In chapter 5, we have Enoch. Enoch what? Walked with God and was not because what? God took him. Enoch and God are walking along every day and they ask Mrs. Enoch, hey Mrs. Enoch, where's Mr. Enoch? He says, well, he's out talking to the Lord. They're out walking and talking. Next day they come back and say, where'd they go? Oh, he didn't come back last night. I don't know what happened. And probably what happened was Enoch and God were walking along and God says, you know, Enoch, we're having such good fellowship. Why don't you just come home with me tonight? Closer to my home than it is yours. We can be there just like that. Sure, let's go. Boom. God took him. Don't you think the world of Enoch's day knew what happened to Enoch? I don't think Mrs. Enoch was at all surprised. Her husband was so wrapped up in his relationship with God, she just said, man, I think he went home to heaven and God bless him. And then we come to chapter 6, verse 5 and 8, where we have Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy the man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the earth, for repented me, I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It talks about him and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and so forth. It goes on with the story. We know the story of Noah. I think most all of us should know that pretty well. In 2 Peter 2:5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. Isn't that interesting? He not only lived the life, he spoke the life. And God says, I'm gonna use Noah. I'm going to preserve humankind through Noah and his three sons and their wives. There's just eight of them. And so where God started with two at the beginning, he now starts over with eight. And it's interesting that when they started building that ark, that it was over 100 years they were building that ark. You say, well, it'll take 100 years to build a boat. How many have ever been to the ark over in Kentucky? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, I don't know about the rest of you. I was totally blown away with the size of it, weren't you? I mean, you pull onto the property there. This thing is built to scale. It's built the actual dimensions in the Bible. And you see it a long ways off. When you pull into the parking lot, you have to go through and walk all the way through, drive around. It's pretty good size from a distance, you know. But it doesn't do justice to it until you get right up to it. And you get up to it, and you start here, and you go, you just keep looking. Whoa! You go, whoa, this thing is humongous. It didn't take me any imagination to understand that back in those days, they didn't have all the power tools we had. They built this boat. It took them over 100, maybe 120 years. During that time, Noah was preaching. Now, you preacher, let me tell you, it's hard starting a church. I started a church. I understand what's behind it. Can you imagine preaching to people and nobody would listen to you? Not one? For 100 years. I mean, if you came to this town and started preaching, Brother Sam, and you were on that for a year or two, and you couldn't get anybody except your family, would you be just a little bit discouraged? Would you might be asking God, you sure you got the right place, Lord? You sure you want me here? Thank God, you got a good crowd of people here. Nice group of people. Praise the Lord. And God's going to use this church in a great way to reach this area. That's what your job is, to reach your area for the gospel. Amen? And to go out and tell people about Jesus. But Noah didn't have that luxury. He just had his family. And the eight of them are building for 100 years. And here's the thing. God, before God let the first drop of rain fall upon the earth in judgment, he had given them over 100 years to repent. God never destroys a nation or a people without first giving them opportunity to repent. That's the grace of God. Think of Jonah and Nineveh. Remember, Jonah went up to Jonah was a backslidden Baptist preacher. Okay, let's just say that. He was just backslidden, man. He didn't like the Assyrians. He hated them. He wanted them dead. And he said, God says, go preach the word of God. And he says, I ain't going. I'm going to Spain. I'm going the opposite direction. Because if I'm over there, I can't be over there. Amen? And so I'm out of here. And God says, I told you that direction. Sorry, I'm going to sleep. Not for long, pal. How'd you like to sleep in the belly of a whale? I bet that woke him up really. But we know it did because chapter 3 is a whole thing that is crying out to God as prayer. God, please help me. I can't take him. I'm sorry, God. And God burps, shoots him right out of there. And boy, that whale goes on his way saying, boy, that was a stomach ache and a half. You know, a backslidden Baptist is a stomach ache to anything, isn't it, huh? He hit the ground running, though, and he got there, and he preached. He did what he had to do. He still didn't like to do it. His heart was still not in it. Even at the end, his heart was not in it. He went up there, and he saw the people repent, and he says, oh, brother, so hot out here. And God grew a gourd. He said, oh, thank you, Lord, for the gourd. God kills the gourd. It shrivels up. He gets sun hits his head, and he's cursing. He's just mad at God. God says, don't you understand? There's all these innocent people in that city. I have a heart for them. I love them. You don't. It's pretty obvious. He says, you're right. I don't. And I hope they all die and go to hell. But I guess they're not going to. So anyway, that was Jonah. The whole book ends with a big question mark. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. God brought revival to Nineveh. Did you know that 100 years later, almost to the day, 100 years later, God destroyed Nineveh because of their wickedness. 100 years later, they'd forgotten all about the revival. They'd forgotten all about getting right with God. They were right back to their wickedness again. And Nahum, the book of Nahum, is about the judgment on Nineveh. 100 years later. God's patient. One thing about God that just grabs me is that he is so patient. And he's never in a hurry. I am always in a hurry. Aren't you, some of you? You get a goal. You get your to-do list out. Okay, I got to do this, this. 1 to 10. Put A's next to the ones you got to do today. B's next to the ones you want to do today. C's next to the ones you can do tomorrow. And we get all organized. And we can say, okay, God, there's my to-do list. Now, just let me do it. God says, just a minute. I've got one phone call changes everything sometimes. Someone calls you, I'm in the hospital, Pastor. Can you come see me? Someone just died. You just forget the to-do list. It's over, man. You're off somewhere else doing the will of God. And we have to just thank God for his patience with us. He is so patient. Abraham, chapter 12, verse 3. We have about 4 minutes left. We'll just try and finish up here. We're just scratching the surface. I want to challenge you to just go through the Bible and just find all these things. It's really interesting. I'm going to put these in a book soon, hopefully. The book's going to be called God's Design for Missions, but I haven't got a clear outline of how the book's supposed to go yet. But I've got this whole, I got about 20 pages like this, all through the Bible. That's going to go in there. So it may be the appendix, I'm not sure, but it's amazing. All through the Bible, God is interested. Abraham, Bible says 5 times to Abraham. He says it to Jacob. He says it to Isaac. And I give you all the references. I won't, but it says in chapter 12, verse 3, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He says it 5 times. Abraham, in thee shall all the families, Isaac, in thee shall all, Jacob, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, how did that happen? Anybody want to tell me? How was everybody blessed through Abraham? You can say something. Jesus, through Jesus came through the line of Abraham, right? And so forth. So that's true. And they've been blessed in a lot of other areas as well, economically and so forth. But God said that to Abraham. Joseph in chapter 41, there's other things in between that, but Joseph introduced Pharaoh to his God. Pharaoh got an intimate knowledge of God. He learned what God could do. Amen? The 10 plagues of Egypt were nothing to sneeze at, folks. I mean, one day, and they worshiped the frog. Frog was one of their gods in Egypt. And God says, I'm going to give you so many frogs. You want your God? I'll give you up to here with your God. And he has filled the whole land with frogs. I mean, they were in their bedrooms. The king gets out of bed, go bathroom at night. Squish, 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 squish. I mean, he's just having a time. He's They were in their beds, slide in the bed, and you feel something cold and wet down at the bottom. It's a frog in my bed. They were in the kneading troughs where they made their bread. They pull their bread out of the kneading troughs, cut it in half, there's a frog. Man, I'll tell you what, he couldn't get rid of these frogs. They were sick and tired of their gods who couldn't help them. And he became very intimately related to God, knew the God of Israel. If there's anybody that didn't know about the God of Israel, he did. Pharaoh knew. And then, of course, he lost his life in the Red Sea with all his army as well. He lost his firstborn son the last time that it happened there, the last plague of Egypt. He lost his son. And he knew who God was. And Joseph just kept on telling the truth, and he knew. So there's all kinds of things. Jacob came to Pharaoh and blessed Pharaoh, prayed for him in his presence in chapter 47. The Egyptians participated and were present at the burial of Jacob. No doubt they heard much of the true God through whom Jacob and his family served. And that's, folks, that's just Genesis. We got to quit now. That's just Genesis. Go to Exodus, Leviticus, almost every book of the Bible has verses that talk about God reaching out to man because he loves him. You think God loved Pharaoh as hard-hearted as he was? Yeah, he did. He loved him. Did Pharaoh love God? No. Did God stop reaching Pharaoh? No. Right to the very end, he kept reaching him. And we need to be careful, and we need to be patient with those who are hard to get along with. Amen? Maybe relatives, maybe family members, maybe neighbors, maybe co-workers. They need to see Jesus in us. Because we are the only Bible some people ever read. Amen? We're the only witness some people ever get. And you can never witness to the wrong person. If you witness to a lost person, they get the gospel. If you witness to a saved person, they'll encourage you to keep going. Amen? And that's happened to me just this last couple days. It's been a blessing just to keep passing out tracts different places I'm at. And you get all kinds of responses. But it's good to know that we need to love people like God loves them and reach them until we breathe our last. Amen?